This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, big weekend coming up. Rockets get going. 8:30 Sunday night against the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk plenty about that throughout the rest of the day. We'll do a 5 Reasons I Hate You at 8:25 today for the Warriors. That'll be fun. Not hard to find 5 reasons there. So circle that. Be ready for that. The NFL draft is 6 days away. Day two is a week away from today. And day two is kind of fun. Well, will be kind of fun for a couple of reasons. The first is that the Texans, as of right now at least, have 3 picks on that day. They've got a second-round pick at 58th overall. And then, thanks to the Laremy Tunsil trade, they've got 2 third-round picks, their own and the one that they got in that trade, 79th and 89th overall. So as of right now, that stands to be a fun day. And you're going to be, Seth, on the air on Texans Radio on day two, right? On Friday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's an added bonus. You get Seth C. Payne with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer breaking it all down right
and
here.
And at some point, we're also going to get to hear from a former teammate of mine who's going to announce the picks.
Yes.
Or at least announce one of the picks if the Texans do indeed have a second and third round pick. If they don't trade everything to move up in the first round,
yep.
We're going to have a former player announce one of the picks.
That's right. And that former player, they sent out the list yesterday of all the former players. Every team has at least one former player that's going to announce a pick. Some have two for whatever reason. Maybe it's a plethora. Maybe they've got extra draft capital. The Green Bay Packers have 7 different guys announcing picks, but the draft is in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So that's
I don't know
why.
If they have 7 second and third round picks. I'm guessing a couple of those are going to be a duo or something.
Or maybe they even get some that on day three are announcing picks. Some are current. They're all former players to varying degrees of stardom. So without further ado, because I know a lot of people probably haven't seen this list. It got put out on social media. The person announcing one of the day two picks for the Texans, either the second round pick or one of their third round picks, will be tight end Owen Daniels.
Ah, good choice.
Good choice. Yeah,
man who represents one of the better eras of Houston Texans football, and a guy that was a second day pick, who the Texans got the absolute most out of.
They did. He was a 4th round pick back when the 4th round was on day two. He was a Pro Bowl level player. He still lives in Houston.
Yeah.
Like, that's my checklist. This is a very important thing. If someone's going to go up and spend 8 seconds announcing a pick on behalf of my team, I don't want the only reason they're up there is because they were on my team. I need them to embody some of the other things that I want, like good player, good dude, still lives here, all of those things.
Yeah. The other thing about Owen Daniels is Owen's one of those guys that I think probably has more recognition outside of Houston and Denver than he otherwise would because of fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
I think Owen Daniels was one of those guys that, it's kind of like with Arian Foster back then. The Texans weren't a team that had any kind of national notoriety, but people know these guys.
A lot of people had OD putting up some solid numbers for them in fantasy.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I like that when I find people that get They get nostalgic for guys that were good to them in fantasy or good to them on Madden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's one of the nice little things when somebody's like, oh, I used to play you on Madden all the time. You were awesome, blah, blah, blah.
Most guys are cool with that. There are a few guys out there that when you bring up, I think mostly it's when you bring up fantasy football with guys who are in the league still, like during
right.
the season when you
yeah,
see
Yeah, because they hear all the negatives of it, too.
Yeah, or they're like, hey, man, I'm not focused on my stats. Stop getting in my ear about this fantasy stuff, all right?
Madden's always good because the only time you hear anybody say anything on Madden is either they liked you and used you or you crushed them in some game.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Madden is almost universally positive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I don't think Owen has done this before, gone and announced a pick. So I don't know if there's advice to give. It's a pretty simple thing to do. Now what I would recommend, and this is not, you know, I'm not trying to pick on Chester Pitts here. I love Chester Pitts, but when the draft, I forget where, it was in Cleveland. It was in Cleveland back in 2021.
Yeah.
This is the first ever pick of the Nick Caserio era back in 2021. Here was Chester Pitts announcing the pick of Davis Mills.
Let's go. First of all, I hope y'all having some fun because this is crazy out here. This draft is awesome. Much love to the traveling Texans. My guy right here, 24 years of marriage, happy anniversary to his wife. I just found out I walked off stage.
Okay, pause. That right there is when he should have gone into the pick.
Yeah,
right?
You get out there.
I've no problem acknowledging the traveling Texans who were there.
You get a cheer. You get a cheer for 24 years of marriage from everybody.
The
loudest was probably obviously with the traveling Texans, but a lot of people are going to hear, oh, 24 years of marriage.
I mean, even the 24 years of marriage thing, I'd have been like, all right, let's keep it moving here. Let's keep it moving. But Chester kept going.
Show his wife some love. Show his wife some love. Cleveland, what's happening? I'm going to take 10 seconds to tell y'all a quick story. My dad is from New York, but he loves the Cleveland Browns. When I was a kid growing up, the Brownies this, the Brownies that, them Brownies gonna be all right this year. When I got drafted, he wanted the Browns to draft me. I didn't get that lucky. I got drafted by the Texans, so it's all good.
Okay, pause right there. There's a point where I get what he's doing. He's playing to the crowd in front of him. But he got out over his skis there. He's like, I didn't get that lucky. I got trapped in by the Texans. Who you are representing on the stage right there, Chester.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
He went well over the 10 seconds.
He did. He did.
Oh, wait, just keep going?
He had to announce the pick, so let's relive the magic. Yeah.
With the 67th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Houston Texans select Davis Mills, QB from Stanford. Go Texans, baby.
Go Texans. My Houston Texans, who I just said I'd rather be drafted by the Browns over.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad there's no video of this because I can empathize with Chester 100%. When you're in front of a hostile crowd, you can either go all in and just lambaste them, or you can try to win them over a little bit.
Yeah.
And before the Falcons played the Patriots in the Super Bowl here in Houston, I weirdly got hired to be the MC at a Patriots pep rally.
Oh, jeez. So tell me this story.
I can't remember. It was like I got up and everybody's looking at me like, who the hell is this jamoke? And I said who I was. And I think my strategy was I was going to point out the various Patriots people that we had on the team or in the organization. And at that point, Wes Welker was the receivers or assistant mm-hmm. receivers coach, whatever he was.
Yep.
And I got there were quite a few names and I got no pop from Wes Welker and I abandoned it immediately. But I can understand the strategy, I guess.
Yeah.
I think if you do that, if you go in, you either got to go straight down the middle, you know, have some love for your own team.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go one direction or the other at the draft, you got to just tear into the hosting city.
Right.
You got to just play full heel.
Go
like
heel.
Pat McAfee did the 1 year.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because McAfee did it, I think, when it was in Tennessee, didn't he?
I think
so,
yeah.
I think McAfee got up and basically just started talking smack. So I don't fault Chester for trying the strategy out at all. Yeah, he should have pulled up short of saying he wasn't that lucky to get drafted to the Browns.
Yeah, yeah, that's the 2019 draft was the one in Nashville, and you know why I remember that? That was the year, I think it was 2019, because that was the year the Texans drafted two tight ends. They drafted Kahale Waring and I think Jordan Thomas that year, and Ryan Griffin was at the draft, at the time a current Texans tight end, and he like punched a window because they drafted two tight ends.
Punched a plate glass window.
Yeah.
if I recall, and
got hurt. And we would not have known about it except he suffered some damage from punching that window.
It's not clear that that was related. I don't think it's clear, or I don't think the story is that he heard about it and then punched a plate glass
window. It is now, Seth.
But the optics of it were very much, they weren't great optics at all. Yeah. Oh, man. Sean, I was at, when I was with the Jaguars, we were doing some kind of autograph signing during the draft, and somewhere along the way, I was sitting next to a young defensive tackle out of, I think he was from Georgia, Amarlos Leroy, awesome dude, and it got announced on the broadcast that there were rumors that they were trying, the Jaguars were trying to trade for some pick that included trading Amarlos Leroy.
Oh, you're sitting with a guy who's part of a trade rumor?
Yeah.
And interesting.
He might have got up and walked out.
He did?
He was like, what the heck is it? He wouldn't have said hell. He was very religious. But he was like, I mean, he was like a six-round draft pick or still a young player or anything. And the last thing he expected was his name was going to be mentioned at all during the draft broadcast. And in my memory, it went out over the PA. Like, it was up. They had the big screen TV showing and everything. We were outside underneath a tent. And he just got up and walked out. Yeah.
That's interesting. He's like, okay, if you're getting ready to trade me, I am not signing autographs for the man. All right.
And I'm not going to be sitting here when I get traded, and have to. Oh. He probably wanted to call his wife, because she's going to hear about it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that was in the late 90s, I'm assuming, right? So kind of a simpler time and place without cell phones and everything.
A lot of people were just watching the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have seen it on social media, but she might have been watching the broadcast.
I wonder if players nowadays are almost a little more desensitized to stuff like that, like their name getting thrown around in rumors because there's so much over-communication now about stuff like that.
I don't know, but when you're a guy that's not a starter or anything like that, like you're not expecting it.
That is a random person to have, like a six-round backup defensive back.
Yeah, you're not expecting your name to get thrown around in trade discussions. I tried to tell him. He was sitting right next to me. I was like, hey, man, it's a show of respect. And he was like, no.
Good to be wanted, man.
Somebody wants you, man.
Yeah, it's good to be wanted. All right, so we've got the whole list. We're not going to go through the whole list of guys announcing picks for other teams, but there's some interesting names on the list here. Did any of these names jump out at you, Seth, here?
Dante Hall immediately for the Chiefs.
Our former coworker. Yeah, he's the only one for the Chiefs. He's announcing the Chiefs pick on day two.
John Lopez, I asked him, what was the argument? There was an on-air discussion or debate that afterwards Dante Hall was just like, all right, radio's not for me.
Yeah, for those, that was like 8 or 9 years ago. We probably have listeners who are like, what are you guys talking about? Back in 2016. The Brock Osweiler season.
Yeah.
We shuffled the lineup around, and the midday show was John Lopez, Fred Davis, and Dante Hall, and I think Landry was producing. Mm-hmm. And then Fred left, and they put Cody in there.
Yeah.
And then Dante ended up leaving over some argument.
Lopez had criticized Brock Osweiler.
I knew it. Yeah.
And Dante Hall was defending him. And I think it was Dante Hall, to his credit, he realized, man, the negativity that surrounds sports radio and everything, it's just not what he's into.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the life he wanted to be living. And he realized then that, like, all right, I'm not in on this.
The best part about Dante Hall's story of becoming a host here is that he got the job applying through the normal HR portal on the then CBS radio HR app or the website. He applied like someone would apply for any other job with the company.
I think our PD at the time was Ryan McCredden, and Ryan McCredden's looking at this like, wait, is this?
Are there two Dante Halls?
He thought it was somebody named Dante Hall.
Yes.
And what a coincidence. And then like, oh, wait, no, this is the actual Dante Hall.
I love that part of the story.
You'll get an interview at least.
Right. That made me really like Dante Hall, and I still like Dante Hall.
It just wasn't for him.
Yeah.
You know, like the level of just for, especially sports radio used to be more toxic. I credit podcasts for kind of changing people's appetites.
Yeah.
I think the level of political discourse, the heatedness of it, kind of turned sports discussion into a little less hot takey.
Mm-hmm.
I think now people more go to sports radio for like, just get me away from everything else for a little while. So yeah, maybe Dante should make another run at it.
He
probably has a podcast.
He may. Well, and Dante is one of those guys that you were just talking about, Seth, that people definitely come up to and talk about Madden and stuff like that. Like Hall was arguably the greatest kick returner in the history of the sport. He had an elite nickname. He was the human joystick.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a great nickname. So, yeah, so Dante will be announcing the Kansas City pick. I'm going to go under on a minute announcement for Dante Hall. I think he'll 10 seconds, he'll be in and out of there if I had to guess.
Another name that caught my eye was TJ Slaughter, linebacker from the Jaguars. He's going to be announcing for the Jaguars. And it's just the one little tidbit about TJ was he made money in college working as a male stripper. And at one point,
hold up, stop.
Yeah. Somebody had gotten a picture of him from his stripping days and put it out in the locker room at some point.
Okay.
Brandy, if you're listening, that's why my search history right now might look a little different than it typically does. I see Seth was searching for male stripper TJ Slaughter for a while this morning.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the image. But I'm not going to give up. But TJ, my dream is that TJ will go out there and do kind of some kind of a stripper move, like announce the pick and then do a split
or something. Oh, my
like
God.
That
would be great. Or just shows up in a Jacksonville colored banana hammock. That's it.
No, a Jaguar print. It's got to be a Jaguar print.
Yeah.
That's the most stripperish thing you can
absolutely,
do.
Absolutely. Okay, so if you're an NFL team and you're sitting with TJ Slaughter at the Combine, and he sits down with you for your 15-minute interview, and you know about this side gig that he has.
Yeah.
And by the way, he went to Southern Miss, so my guess is the bags of the illegal NIL money might not have been flowing as freely as places like Alabama or Georgia.
He's just trying to make a buck.
Yeah. So would you have found him to be...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Would you have looked at his stripping job on the side as a positive, that he's being enterprising and just trying to make some money, or would you be taken aback by the world that he was finding himself in?
I'd look at it as a positive.
Yeah, me too.
For the most part, especially back then, because the internet, just that everything wasn't online. Everything wasn't going to get it. I don't think there was any danger of embarrassing his team on social media or anything. You could kind of do something like that and keep it on the... and keep it low key. So yeah, I would. He was an awesome dude. I loved TJ.
Oh my god.
He was. Gave me dance tips at times.
Yeah, of course.
Hey TJ, give me something to tell me something I can show the lady. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you lost me at your eight pack abs. I don't think I can quite do that, TJ. Yeah.
I respect it, man. A side hustle, and you're up late at night probably too. But he probably got some private gigs now. Southern Miss, I'm guessing that, dude, a male stripper in southern Mississippi.
Dude, no, listen, man, I'll tell you. No, male stripping, compared to a lot of stuff that guys have gotten paid to do as SEC athletes back in the day, the male stripper is pretty tame.
Yeah.
There's lots of people very excited to see athletes in various circumstances. Yeah. Back before there was NIL money to earn a respectable living.
Jason Sehorn's name is on this list. That jumps out. He was a former great player, I would say, at his peak of his powers. Former spouse of Angie Harmon, the gold standard for white defensive backs back in the day.
Jason Sehorn. Of the few this century.
Yeah,
of a starting white corner.
He was
in the
Cooper
NFL.
DeGene before Cooper DeGene was cool. Jason Sehorn.
Cooper DeGene with Hollywood appeal.
That's it, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, everybody, I know Southern Miss isn't in the SEC, but the SEC is where, like, there's a big example of, man, guys have gotten paid to do some weird stuff.
Yeah. Google, you put it in your Google machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to say this.
Oh, no, it won't show up in Google.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's a tease.
Guys who might want to enjoy watching their wives in different circumstances and what have you.
I hate to say this, but the worst pick announcer ever was a fellow Cornell grad, Seth, a couple of years ago. Remember?
I know. And I can't. I'm sorry I didn't get this audio beforehand.
Dude,
but Ed Marinaro,
we don't have enough time to play it. It's only a 4-hour show. It's
Ed Marinaro, runner up for the Heisman back in the day at Cornell University, would go on to great acting success. Got up and didn't realize the format of what he was supposed to do. And he started to basically give out his life story and tell it sounded like it was going to be a 15-minute speech.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go out and basically give him the hook,
announce the pick,
tell him to move it along.
Yeah, this isn't why you're here. Yeah, I felt bad for him.
Can I give you a real quick a Texans related story?
Yes, of course.
When Kubiak's first year, he brought in Bum Phillips to talk to the team,
mm-hmm.
and it was really really cool because like this was as Bum wasn't quite as sharp as he used to be, and he got out and. And it was kind of like everything he said was great, but it was kind of like listening to your grandfather when he's telling the same story a couple times and everything.
Sure.
And it was really cool because the team was extremely respectful about it. And it got to a point where his daughter kind of came out and coaxed him away from the stage. But like in that he had told a couple of really good stories, but then he's just kind of wandering and everything. And I just liked it because it was a bunch of young guys who were super, super respectful and almost as if they were listening to their own grandfather. And you could see how much respect Kubiak had for Bum Phillips.
Yeah.
Bum was around a while there towards the end of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody always treated him with the.
He was around the Texans towards the end?
At times, yeah. Oh,
that's
really
cool.
I'd see him on, even after I wasn't with the team, you'd see him in the tunnel on a golf cart and everything.
Yeah.
And just everybody always treated him with the absolute utmost respect.
Oh, that's good to hear, man. Repeating himself aside, was he good?
No, it was kind of, it was the same old Bum Phillips.
I could see that.
No, that's what I mean. It was like, it was really cool stuff. He was talking about, it was after a special teams practice.
Okay.
So he was talking about special teams, and it was everything that Bum Phillips was, which was, talking about caring about your teammates and everything and how important special teams really was because that's the core essence of what makes a really good team is caring about stuff like this.
Yeah.
That part was really, really cool. Yeah.
Okay, Payne and Pendergast with you. So we're going to do a mock draft injection here in about 20 minutes and change. We do it every day at 7:45. We go through a different mock draft. The player, it feels almost like Circle of Life where we've sort of – started out as the Tyler Booker show, the guard from Alabama, when the draft season started. And then he drifted off the radar because he was getting a lot of buzz for a while. Then he had a bad combine. So now he's not getting picked by the Texans. He's going in the second round. And we circle all the way back. And if I had to guess, that Tyler Booker is probably right there with any other draft prospect as far as guys getting mocked to the Texans. Brian Baldinger did a breakdown of Tyler Booker. Brian Baldinger, former offensive lineman who does great work for the NFL Network, and he does breakdowns on his Twitter feed where it's as old school gets within the social media realm. It's Baldinger with his phone out filming the screen on his laptop, breaking down all 22 film of different players. And there's really never a negative one out there. There's not a ton of criticism on these. But he, you can tell the ones he likes and the ones he's over the moon on. So let's take a listen to a little bit of Brian Baldinger gushing over Tyler Booker. Here's cut number one.
Tyler Booker, number 52, left guard, Alabama. This is what violent hands look like. You want to run a stunt, bam, get him over your center, come underneath there with Proctor, and you just keep the pocket flat. All right, you pass that stunt. Violent hands, he's got those. All right, you watch him down the goal line. Like, watch him just take two right into the end zone. Run right behind him. There's your, that's your path right there, behind Highway 52, Tyler Booker to find the end zone. Now you get this right here. Like, watch his power step with his right foot. Power step. Now, you start bringing it. Now, you snap the hips. Snap the hips. Here you go. This is run blocking. 101. Inch by inch. You're walking right off the line of scrimmage.
Okay. I mean, I don't even need to see the video. I'm listening to that. I'm like, all
does
right.
Does he sound swarm-worthy? Yes.
Sounds swarm-worthy.
Of the various people, the various reservations people have about Tyler Booker, there's zero concern about whether he's swarm or whether he has an appetite for violence or anything like that.
Yeah.
I do like that there are a lot of instances of him blocking two guys. I don't – pancake blocks don't really impress me all that much. I love it when I see offensive linemen pancake a guy and then work up to a second guy.
Yeah, let's go find another pancake.
Guys that just were like, oh, I'm going to land on this guy, and then I'm going to show everybody what a man I am. Like, no, if you knock the guy down – and the running back's behind you, go up and block two, and he does a lot of that.
He does a ton of that, for sure, Tyler Booker, especially in this 2 minutes of video Baldinger has. By the way, all these highlights that he's breaking down is against Georgia. So, you know, so we should point that out. This isn't Alabama, you know, against UT Chattanooga in week two.
He ain't doing it against the Sisters of the Poor.
That's right. That's right.
A school that I feel horrible about, but like, because I don't, there's probably some Sisters of the Poor school out there, and maybe they have a good football team. You know, I don't know. But that's what every football coach says. He ain't doing it against the Sisters of the Poor.
We'd have seen the Netflix doc on that by this point. Here's more Brian Baldinger on Tyler Booker.
His stance is a thing of beauty. It's so consistent. Like, I don't care how fast he is. It doesn't matter. Like, you get outside, you get your footwork right, and you pull and you lead, and you find someone in a different color jersey, and you do this to him. You just knock him right on his something, like right on his back. And then you just give him another push just for fun. All right, now you do this. All right, you get Jalen Walker, number 11, one of the elite players in this draft. They're going to run this crossfire stunt inside. And Walker's coming right at Tyler Booker, right? He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know to run through him or go around him. Either way, he ain't winning. Those are 34.5-inch arms, and he's got him locked out. It's over. Like, his feet are in the ground. He's locked out. Take a photo of that. Take a screenshot. Like, Milroe makes the throw. Look where he's at. Look at the knee bend, the leverage. It's beautiful.
The Jalen Walker thing on the stunt, Seth, is really funny because Walker is he's a linebacker for Georgia who's probably going to be a first-round pick, high first-round pick, and he comes in on this stunt, and Booker is just standing there waiting for him. And it looked like Jalen Walker was getting ready to sit down in an obstructed view seat at a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever been to Fenway Park or Wrigley or one of those old stadiums, there are seats that get sold very cheaply where you sit down in the chair and you're behind this gigantic column where you can't see anything.
Well, and that's the thing, though. The thing with Booker that I like, because people have reservations about how athletic he is, when he pulls, he's like, I would take a guy with a football IQ that understands the angles over a guy who's really athletic but can't seem to hit a guy in open space.
Yeah.
And the offensive tackle version of that is Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil, as athletic as he is atrocious on screens. And at times, like, he just doesn't look like he knows how to actually get a body on a body in space. For all of his lack of athleticism, supposedly, I think Booker does a great job with that stuff. Yeah. And when he pulls, he's always in the right angle and he always gets everything.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Everything down in space, or when he's hitting guys from the side, like he's got the right technique and body positioning to overcome some of the negatives that people have.
Yeah,
about
it doesn't matter if you're running a 4.8 40, which is excellent for an offensive lineman, if you're running the wrong direction, you know.
Yeah.
All right, one more from Baldinger, gushing over Tyler Booker.
This is what bringing the big wood looks like. Violent hands. Works with Pootie Carson, same guy that trained Aaron Donald. Works with him on his hands. Watch the violence right here. All right, free to help. I mean, just cracking some ribs right here. Knocking people down. Is there anything more fun for an offensive lineman than to declete somebody? So clean, so yeah, good. What a future.
Well, what a future. What a future.
Okay, well, so this is a classic one where he's the guard. There's nobody on him. He goes out to help the tackle. And then he sees, oh, I've got an opportunity for a kill shot. So he goes out and takes the kill shot. Sometimes I think people overrate the blindside kill shot because the defensive tackle is engaged with the center. Because we've seen with the Texans, at times, guys go for a blindside kill shot, and meanwhile, somebody else is looping around on a stunt and hits the quarterback clean.
Yeah.
So there's an intelligence that I think Tyler Booker shows and demonstrates that he knows how to scan and work in like the appropriate time to go for a kill shot. It's the funny thing about Texans fans, it's just cool to see on social media, is how excited they get when they see anybody picking up a game or a stunt.
Look at Tyler Booker picking up that stunt right there.
A lot of the more blue collar stuff or the stuff's on the more mental side, Texans fans have a huge appetite for that right now. So that's where I think that Booker does enough where you can feel confident that, all right, he might not be the world's best athlete, but what he does the right way. And really, the right footwork and the right angles, that matters a lot. Because there's a lot of guys who are really good athletes, but you take the wrong step and it doesn't matter because then you got to make up two steps just to get back to where you should have been. And I think he demonstrates a lot of that acumen that some of the other prospects don't.
We will do a Five Reasons I Hate You for the Golden State Warriors in about an hour from now, a little less than an hour from now, to get you ready for that series. And we've got people texting in reasons to hate. I've got five already, but I'm open to more. Here was Brian Windhorst. We were talking earlier as we shift gears over to the Rockets for a few minutes. We'll do a mock draft injection in about 15 minutes. We were talking earlier in the show, and my contention was this is a big opportunity for Jalen Green, this series, to – I think it's a big opportunity for the Rockets as a whole. I think for a two seed, there's a lot of the country that has not been watching the Rockets this year, and I think it's a big reason why they're such a big underdog to the Warriors. Amen Thompson may have been getting the most buzz of any individual Rocket over the last few months, and that was a lot of that was fueled late in the season by him being a huge part of shutting down Steph Curry. 3 points for Curry in that game they played a couple of weeks ago. Here's Brian Windhorst on The Nation learning about the name Amen Thompson.
I feel like Amen Thompson is going to become a much bigger, higher known name in the next 2 weeks, because that's the guy who the Rockets are going to put on Steph Curry when it matters.
1-10 shooting.
And this guy is a okay, the NBA athletes, the guys who play in the NBA are top 1% athletes. Amen Thompson is the top 1% of the 1%.
There you go.
This guy is an absolute freakazoid athlete, and he is relentless defensively. That is going to be a big part of this series, is the Amen Thompson on Steph Curry matchup.
Okay, so, you know, this current team doesn't have all the old emotional baggage of losing to the Warriors in the playoffs. And that's good. I think us as fans have all the emotional baggage of playing the Warriors. But all of you will remember one of the most frustrating and maddening things about the Rockets losing to the Warriors at times back in the day was that they would just simply lose track of Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's the biggest threat on the opposing side? Like, what do we absolutely not want to happen? We don't want Steph Curry roaming free behind multiple moving picks and having wide open shots. And yet, for large stretches of times and in games, there's Steph Curry running free. They would just completely lose track of him. I have zero fear of them losing sight or losing track of Stephon Curry in this playoff.
I do too, and I think some of it's Amen Thompson, but you look at the head coach of those Rocket teams, Seth, and we'll talk in Five Reasons I Hate You. We'll go through the four playoff series that just were each a different type. They were each a kick to the junk of Rocket fans, and each for different reasons, but Mike D'Antoni was the head coach of those teams. Mike D'Antoni's like having an offensive guy be your head coach in the NFL. You know, Ime Udoka is a guy who is massive on the attention to detail on the defensive side. You know, I think your point is a really good one, and I think it's not just Amen Thompson, but I think from top down, this team is wired to be they have to be incredibly attentive on the defensive end because they're just not very good on the offensive end.
Right,
you know,
if
they were inattentive to details on the defensive end, they'd have been playing in one of those Wednesday games this week, the 9-10.
It is really interesting where their offensive rebounding is so good that it almost in a lot of ways becomes that, all right, you're not good in the half court, but because you're so good at offensive rebounding that it's your own way of tipping the scales in terms of number of possessions. And if every time you get an offensive rebound, it's like a new possession and it slows the game down.
Yeah.
And the offensive stuff, it's a combination of, it's not just that it helps out your defense, but it helps do those things that you can't do if you don't have a good half court offense. You slow the game down and you've got a way of competing with a slowed down game. It just doesn't look the way people want it to look.
Yep.
I would love for them to be as good at offensive rebounding plus also really good at shooting, but that's not that team this year.
Not this year. And maybe they go find a shooter in the offseason. The Knipple kid from Duke announced yesterday he's going to be eligible. He's announcing his eligibility for the draft. I think that'd be, if they're still at 9 and they keep that pick, I think that's a perfect pick at 9 to get a guy that's his main skill,
Another guy that will turn down the nickname that we want to give him because Cocaine Curry Cocaine Curry does not want to be called Cocaine Curry, Reed Shepard.
Right.
Or at least he hasn't embraced it.
No.
I feel like an ice cold shooter called Cold Knipple is an awesome nickname.
I like that.
And probably not the best marketing strategy.
No. Cold Knipple. The Knipple.
Ice cold Knipple.
The Knipple.
I'll call him ice cold Knipple.
The Knipple is hard. yeah. Reed Shepard will always be Cracker McBuckets on this show. Okay. Just that's in this world, he is Cracker McBuckets. So Amen Thompson gets to announce his presence with authority to the world. I think Jalen Green, Şengün is probably the best known for guys who don't watch the Rockets on a regular basis because he made the All-Star team this year. I think there's going to be an element to watching the Rockets for the average fan that's going to be like, oh yeah, Dylan Brooks is on this team. Now there's a reason to hate the Rockets, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a different Dylan Brooks. He's a slightly more rational Dylan Brooks than the one that used to try to poke LeBron back in the day.
Well, I think the Dylan Brooks versus Draymond Green, could this become the team where if people hate Dylan Brooks and they hate Draymond Green, because almost everybody hates Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Does it just does it become one of those like I just want to watch this because somebody I hate is
Yeah, I think
just,
they cancel each other out. Like I don't think they tip the scales one way or the other. I think
Draymond
they,
Green is far more hated than Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is more of a like, oh yeah, that guy was I remember him from when he was a pain in the ass versus this time or that time, whereas Draymond Green is just crossed over into a different level.
In the spirit of WrestleMania this weekend, Draymond Green is a main event heel. Dylan Brooks is a mid-card heel. You know, he's in like the fourth match on the card. Yeah, he's like, you know, Draymond's the guy you put on the poster for WrestleMania against whoever the good guy is. Like that's you're right. He sells tickets. He's that much of a heel.
What's the best thing you can do to become a heel in wrestling?
Stab somebody in the back who was your friend.
Like betray somebody.
You
come out and just all of a sudden, and literally, right? Like you come up and you come up from behind them when they're not expecting it, and you hit them in the kidneys.
The best heels are the ones who were good guys who stab a fellow good guy in the back. That's what John Cena, that's why this WrestleMania coming up on Sunday is setting all sorts of gate records, because John Cena stabbed Cody Rhodes in the back.
Hold on a second. I'm going to write this note for weekend. Find a way to betray Sean. Okay, got it.
They couldn't hate
take
you.
Take this to the next level.
Oh, yeah. Seth just hits me with a chair at the draft party. That would be great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Mock draft injection time. Now, this is a seven-round mock. We're not going to go through all seven rounds, but Josh Edwards of CBS Sports has a familiar name at 25. He's actually got two guys in the first three picks that John Harris had yesterday when he did his mock draft with us live here on the air. So we'll do the mock draft injection and a very interesting one, some legal issues, at 89 for the Texans here. Would the Texans draft this guy based on what he's got going on off the field right now? That is coming up next.